Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is KVSC's Arts and Cultural Heritage producer, Jeff Carmack. And in today's installment, we're going to look at something new. Most of the times when you think about history, we're thinking about the past. We think about stories from our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. We think about little scraps of paper, receipts from businesses long gone, and we think about black and white photography. But recently, St. Cloud resident John Lund has begun a Facebook page that collects all of these things for anyone to enjoy from wherever they are. And today, we're going to sit down and talk with them about it.
Well, how about we just kind of start off? Why don't you give a quick description about what St. Cloud Remembered is and what led you to develop this neat little thing?
Good question. What it is kind of a collection. You know, the description that I put originally, and it remains kind of the same, is this site was created as a depository for photos, recollections, love letters, and hate mail. Everyone's encouraged to post and participate. And it was kind of a participatory thing. And it's real interesting to listen to people and to have people's participation and have their own recollections and memories of St. Cloud. So I go for old photographs, old memories, things of that nature, and I post them, and then people start to talk about them. And, you know, over just the last couple of months, which is as long as it's been up, people have really started to show up, and they're digging through old family photographs and family history, and they're sending them in, which was kind of the idea. And I think if there's someone in charge somewhere, if they would start looking at this and say, you know, there's a lot of stuff on there that maybe we should start saving, because it's history of the area that we never would have collected in any other way. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is kind of neat because it is a Facebook page, and it's drawing, it's drawn from a couple of different sources. You grab some stuff from, the Historical Society or the St. Cloud State Archive. But then, like you say, other people start posting things. And I think it's kind of interesting because, a lot of this material is available at the Historical Society or at the archives. But then, like you said, it's that those other things, those personal photos. And do you think just the nature of Facebook has kind of helped that develop?
Well, without a question, people, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say it, but I think people are lazy. So now what happens is they're going to go looking for some of this stuff. But what happens is once they like us, okay, and they like us on the page, I put together a post in the morning, and maybe I knock out four or five different photographs or four or five different things in a day. And all of a sudden it shows up on their Facebook page along with, messages from grandma and what's my girlfriend been doing last night when she wasn't around, that kind of stuff, and it shows up on their page. And so now they have no choice but to see it. They don't have to go look for it. They go, oh, well, that's kind of cool. That's interesting. I'll take a look at that and see what it's all about. And so it's, that's pretty much the answer is they don't have to work at it.
Yeah, it's just there.
It's there. Yeah, it's there when they get up in the morning and most people don't look at newspapers anymore. They look at their laptop and there it is. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. That's definitely one thing I've encountered. I end up going to, I wake up in the morning, I'm getting my news right there while drinking my coffee on my computer.
Yes.
So, I don't have to go find a paper.
And then you check out your Facebook page to see what the heck your friends have been doing.
Exactly. How are people waking up this morning?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's just all part of that, I guess you could say, a new media, if you will. People just, they're using things.
Well, it's almost like a town bulletin board, which is kind of the concept here. My original concept, it hasn't turned out the way that I thought that it might, okay? And what I was thinking, I know you teach writing, and part of what I was thinking is that people would start collecting some of their memories, and maybe they'd start attaching blogs to it. And, there's people that have been, I'll tell you where we're short, okay? And the stuff that interests me doesn't necessarily interest everybody else. But people want to hear about the 80s now, you know, and they have this nostalgia for the 80s. I don't have this nostalgia for the 80s.
I don't either.
I'm nostalgic for the 50s or the 60s, and I really like the turn of the century stuff. I like the 19th century stuff, you know, where St. Germain's nothing but a dirt road. I think that stuff's pretty cool. But other people are really nostalgic for the 1980s, and I thought people would maybe start writing their recollections and maybe writing lengthier blogs. But what I find is we all have the short attention span. And so I'm getting comments that are no more than, and they're interesting, but they're no more than a paragraph. And in some instances, they're more no more than four or five words saying, I used to work there. Okay, cool. Okay, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, a little bit more. Yeah. What does that mean? Yeah. I noticed that. Yeah, I think that's part of the medium as well. You know, there's a couple of photos up on there. One of them in particular that I saw was the Clown Club. And, you know, I was like, that's kind of interesting and weird. And but then under that photo, you've got this string of comments. And there was somebody who commented saying, oh, my dad was in that with my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Then, he chatted about it for just a little while. But then that was about it, you know. So it's almost like it's not like an in-depth study of, you know, these different events and pictures. It's more like, you know, it's kind of like a slideshow with people in the audience just going like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And then
the really funny one. I mean, I had no idea that this would happen, but weeks ago, I posted a picture of the new Munich Ballroom, and the new Munich Ballroom had burned down. I think it was 1998, so that's been gone for a while. But that was the most popular thing we ever did, was this photograph of the new Munich Ballroom. People went nuts about it. They had seen this band there, that band there. They'd seen Johnny Holm there. We had like 1,500 likes of this picture of the new Munich Ballroom. And I think it was over 600 or 700 people commented on it. And everybody had to tell the story about how they had gotten drunk in the parking lot, you know. One guy had told the story about how he had been removed from the new Munich Ballroom by Tiny Bouch, who had picked him up by the hair, and his feet never saw the floor on the way out the door. You know, it's those kinds of things, and people want to tell those stories, and it's a good place to do it.
Oh, nice. It does. It brings a little bit of the community, you know, back, remembered, you know, St. Cloud remembered, literally.
Yes.
You know, so, yeah. So, I mean, kind of move on just a little bit along that, you know, what do you think people are getting about this connection between the past and the present? You know,
what my wife said, my wife said, hey, based on the comments and the people. Well, I grew up where St. Cloud State is, okay? So my home from the time I was 3 or 4 years old until I was 18 was where the education building is now on 3rd Avenue, okay? So I kind of saw all this happen, and over those years, I saw all the old homes disappear, okay? And I saw this entire neighborhood essentially gutted. I mean, it just disappeared. And the comment that my wife said was, you know what, judging by the comments of people, you know, why have we torn down all the old nice buildings? And it went to the St. Cloud Library. I mean, the library on the corner of 5th Avenue and Division. And the comments of, we tore down all these nice buildings. And my wife said, you know, maybe people now will think twice before they decide that what they need to do is tear something down, put something else up in its place, as opposed to working to save it. You know, which is a nice thought. And maybe people will give it a little thought when they start to realize that history is more than what happened in Washington. History is more than the wars that have happened. History is really families and people and going to school and going to work and having a baby and having these tragedies that happen and, you know, having an old dog that always sat outside of your business.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, those kinds of things, because that really is what history is about. It isn't just what's in the newspaper.
Yeah, it's that space. You know, it's the, you know, it is, it's where we live.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, I've only been in town about 10 years or so, but I've seen things change as well. And then, you know, just in the time I've been here, but I remember where I grew up in Waterloo, Iowa, same thing. You know, it's a town right about the same size as this, same kind of demographics and whatnot, but they had a, they had a park system that this guy was very, very innovative, and he developed these parks based upon different themes, like a ghost town or Robinson Crusoe or, you know, spaceships and whatnot.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff isn't there anymore. You know, it's just I think these things were built late 60s, early 70s. And then, of course, you know, time takes their toll and everything. And then plus, well, you know, you get enough kids falling off stuff. Eventually, somebody's going to be like, you know, this isn't safe. Maybe we should do something.
Maybe we should have something different.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, things kind of change like that. But then also, you know, I've never known St. Cloud to be really all that different. I don't remember Mall St. Germain, you know, or things like that. Yeah. So actually seeing these pictures up on the internet, I a lot of times I look at them and be like, where is that? What is that? That's interesting.
Well, yeah, and you don't know some of the things that I did, because like I said, I was here from the time I was 4 years old. There was a place where Atwood is now called Olmies, Almies. And Olmies was like the quintessential little malt shop that they showed, you know, where the it's Bobby Soxers hung out. And one of the great comments actually came from a woman who was a sister of a friend of mine. And she said, you know, I was in Olmies, and Olmies, it was this little malt shop with booths and stuff. And she said that I was in Olmies on the day that Kennedy was assassinated, and we were shoulder to shoulder. The place was absolutely packed and dead quiet. That was her recollection of Olmies. So it's those kinds of memories and stuff.
Yeah. And you kind of have to have that place still there, you know, sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Look at some of the businesses that aren't around anymore. And I remember fondly going into them and just like, you know, and, you know, there's no more memories going to be made there.
That's correct. Yeah.
Well, some of the different things that are up there, there are some really neat things up on, you know, St. Cloud Remembered. You know, a couple events here and there, but then there's a, you know, I guess kind of a subsection that you do, the Locals Remembered.
Yes.
The first one I stumbled on to that was a local pro wrestler.
And he was the wrestler that had fought Muhammad Ali.
Wow.
Yeah, he was the wrestler that fought Muhammad Ali, and it was some kind of a stupid, you know. What happened was, and I don't know if this is specifically the time, but you remember, he was Buddy Young, I think was his name, and Buddy Wolf. Okay, Muhammad Ali fought Buddy Wolf, and I think it was around the time that Ali couldn't get a fight. You know, he refused induction into the army, saying he didn't have any problem with those Viet Cong. That was kind of the quote.
Yeah.
And he refused to go, and they stripped him of his crown, and he couldn't get a fight. And I think that was around the time that he fought Buddy Wolf.
Wow.
Yeah, interesting character. Yeah.
Right on. Well, some other things I saw in there. There was Jimmy's Bike Shop of the giveaway.
Yeah, isn't that fantastic? Jim's Bicycle Shop is a parking lot now. It's where they're talking about putting the new parking ramp for River's Edge. So it would have been right on the corner of 5th Avenue and 1st Street North, and it would have been the southeastern corner of that. And there's a picture of it on the website, and like the people said, nobody would do this anymore, but when it got to be skating season, and Lake George was huge back then, I mean, there'd be times where there'd be 150 people skating on Lake George, because there's nothing to do at home. kind of boring. But the guy would sharpen your skates for free. You know, I mean, they sharpen your skates for nothing. And everybody bought their first Schwinn at Jim's Bicycle Shop. It was, and we had people posting on there saying, yeah, my dad bought my first bike there for $5. You know, it was the place to buy a bike in St. Cloud.
Neat. Yeah. Interesting how those things just kind of cycle. You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC. And in today's news feature, it's another installment of the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. And we're talking with lifelong St. Cloud resident John Lund about a new and interesting Facebook focal point for the history of St. Cloud. It's called St. Cloud Remembered. And is becoming quite the online gathering space for old photos and stories revolving around the history of St. Cloud, including some photographs from the very beginning of St. Cloud.
See, I think the earliest photo that you have up on there is from Camp Fisk from 1862.
I've never heard of that before. I'm looking at this. There's a... I'm trying to remember where I even found that. There's a book that I found along the way called The History of Stearns County, and it was written in 1905, and it may have come from that. And that book, it's available online, I think, through the Library of Congress. I've got it. I don't close it on my computer at home because it's like 1,200 pages, and it gives family histories from all over Stearns County, you know. So-and-so was born in Prussia in 1846, and, you know, those kind of small family details, which is kind of neat. But this Camp Fisk, I'd never heard of it, and I've lived here forever. And this captain, he was commissioned into the Army as a captain, and his job was to transport people from here to Salt Lake City, Utah. And St. Cloud was used as his rallying point. And it's a story, I found his diary of the trip. You can find his diary of the trip online and how he rallied at St. Cloud. And I can't remember exactly how many days it was, but he went from St. Cloud to Fort Ripley, which is what, about 40 miles north of here?
Yeah, I think I remember on the website saying it took about 3 days to get there.
Yeah, exactly, to go there on this wagon train. So between, you know, getting from here to Salt Lake City was going to take him some time.
Yeah. I think one of the things, there was a feature I did a while back with the Stearns History Museum about the history of ferries in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And St. Cloud was definitely one of the ferry points here.
Yes.
And, you know, way back then, the... you know, the United States ended on the other side of the river, and we are in the Louisiana Purchase right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, this was when you come to this side, then you're in the wilderness.
Well, so, were we the Dakota Territory for a while? I think we were in Dakota Territory here for a while.
Yep. Then it got split up a little bit more, and there you go. Well, it is interesting. That's just the. Those long ago historical events and developments. Yes, not just events, it's just how the country is evolving. One of the photos I also saw up on there was kids getting polio shots in 1953 at the Lincoln School. So it's like a national drive to do this, but yet how does that touch St. Cloud?
Well, I remember a couple of things happened. Number one, both my mother and my sister contracted polio in the late 40s and early 50s. You know, and they didn't have horrible cases of it, but I do remember getting the shots, and somebody posted along with that. Their comment was, well, I don't remember the shot, but I remember a sugar cube. And that was a great leap. What happened was that was a great leap forward, because the little, you remember the picture of the little kid, he was just screaming.
Oh,
those shots were painful, especially when you're like 4 or 5 years old. And people were terrified of polio, and there's pictures of them lining up outside the Lincoln School, you know, by the hundreds to get their kids in there and get this shot because they didn't want them to die. You know, that's what happened to FDR, was polio. And when it converted to the point where the vaccine, we went from the Salk vaccine to the Sabin, I think it was the Sabin vaccine that they put on sugar cubes so the kids could just eat it as opposed to getting a shot. That was just a great leap forward.
Nice. Yeah. And it kind of, well, that's, you know, becomes part of our history too.
Well, absolutely.
Everyone had to go through this. Another thing I saw in there was a woman's or a women's suffrage protest.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. There was like a whole line of women walking down the street and just, well, people reacting to it.
And they're all white, and they're all dressed in white. I mean, they're all, that's what impressed me. They were all dressed in white, and they were marching on the street, and darn it, we're going to get the vote. never dreamt of that happening in St. Cloud. You know, St. Cloud's always had a reputation of being extremely conservative. And the fact that these women would be gutsy enough to march down Saint Germain in the 1920s for the vote, that was pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what other kind of things do you have up on the website that are just kind of interesting? I know I kind of hit on a couple here, but you know, do you have any like Prohibition era photos or stories up on there about that?
You know, and I haven't. There's the book Minnesota 13. That I've read about that, and I haven't gotten into that. One of the things about doing this site, doing this Facebook page, is every day I feel like I got to come up with a new idea as to what to post. And you start wondering if you're going to start running out of stuff here pretty quick. That's the difficult part of it, and I haven't touched on that yet. People get a big kick. I've had several photographs of old bars from around the area, from Holdingford and Opole and some of these little towns in the area, and people absolutely love those, but they're hard to come by. The thing about it is, now we take hundreds of photographs a day. I mean, you know, it's easy, it's cheap, it's inexpensive. Our phones are good cameras, whereas as recently as 15 years ago, taking photographs not only required you to think about bringing a camera along, but it also required you to pay for developing, you know, and pay for film, and it wasn't cheap. Now I can take as many photographs as I want, and it doesn't cost me 10 cents.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I use my phone sometimes when I'm out and about doing untold stories, just take pictures of stuff.
Sure.
And then, you know, I email them to myself or whatever. And then, but the other day, I plugged my phone into my computer and, you know, just to look for a photo. And I didn't really pay attention to what I was clicking on. So I started downloading all the photos. And I had 467 photos on my phone.
Yes.
I'm like, wow.
And 30 years ago, that would have cost you $200 to develop all of that.
Oh, yeah. That's that's almost, you know, if you got a 36 roll or a 36 shot roll, you know, that's quite a lot. That's about like, you know, 12 or so, you know, and that's.
Yeah. And people would think twice before spending that kind of dough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah, now pictures are everywhere. So I kind of wonder what that does. Because, yeah, these pictures that you've got, I mean, these are special time-honored things. But now there's almost such a flood of posts, of pictures out there. People just post stuff all the time.
Yes.
And don't even think about it.
And we don't even think about taking photographs of some of the stuff that, you know, you see it day to day. And it's not something that, you know, if I could go back now to high school, maybe, or go back, you know, there was an A&W. I was looking for the A&W root beer stand. St. Cloud had an A&W root beer stand where Bridge of Harmony is now in St. Germain. That was originally an A&W. Oh. Where are you going to find a photograph of that? I mean, nobody thinks twice. Nobody thought, gee, we should take a picture of this because 40 years from now, it's going to be really kind of cool. You know?
It's always going to be there.
But now there's going to be photographs of everything. So, you know, the interesting thing for me, one of the interesting things, just to interject, because you asked me what I was interested in, is how much St. Cloud has grown and how quickly it has grown. You know, the Swiggum's Motel out where... at the corner of like 29th. Well, there's a picture from about 1950 where McDonald's is on the corner of 23rd and what is now Division Street. That's the end of the town. I mean, the town ended there on 23rd Avenue and Division. That was the end. And, you know, it was still like 2 miles before you got to Wade Park, but that was the end of St. Cloud.
And that was grown together. And if you think about going out west to the end of St. Cloud, you actually kind of think of Fleet Farm.
Exactly. And from there to St. Joe's, like...
2 minutes, 5 minutes.
Exactly. And it won't be long before it reaches out there. So it's the growth, it's the expansion, it's all of those things. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's an evolution.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
It is. But it is fun to look back and see what things were and well, I mean, maybe even to revive some of the things, you know, some of the traditions, or you know, if possible.
That reminds me of something I haven't been able to find, which is in terms of tradition and in terms of St. Cloud State, was that freshmen used to have to wear beanies. I don't know if you ever heard this, but there was a freshman beanie. And when you came into St. Cloud State, you were issued a beanie, and you were required to wear that beanie everywhere for the first – it was quarters then, not semesters – everywhere for the first quarter. And if you were caught without your beanie, there was a kangaroo court that you had to appear in front of, and you were given your punishment by the kangaroo court. So being smart-ass little kids – what we would do is we'd kind of lurk around in the dark and try and snatch beanies off of freshman heads so that they'd have to go to kangaroo court. I mean, they're never going to revive that tradition. The other thing that was required, and the song Dirty Water by the Standells talks about it, is the women were required to be in their dorms by 10 o'clock because they were going to lock the doors if you're not here. So the women had this curfew, and the men got to do whatever the hell they wanted to. You know, it's those kinds of things that have changed. So,
Quite a lot. Well, if somebody wants to track down St. Cloud Remembered, how would they go about doing that?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not exactly. I created it. I've never had to look for it, but I think if you went to your Facebook page and you did a search for St. Cloud Remembered, we're going to come up. Liking it would be pretty cool because then you're going to get our posts every day. And the only joy, I get nothing out of this, but the joy of saying, okay, you know, we went from, the evolution of this was, I opened it, I started it on March 7th, and on March 14th, I think I had about 197 likes, and I said, you know what, I was thinking maybe I'd get like 400 people, right, that would follow this, and it would be kind of fun. And so I said, geez, you know, tell your friends to like this page. And within 2 weeks, I had 3,000 people following this thing. And now we're coming up that by May 1st, we should have 5,000, which is really incredible. People have told me that there's businesses that would absolutely die to have that many people tuning in.
Oh, yeah. We made a big deal KVSC on our Facebook page. We're trying to get to 3,000.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal.
Yeah, it is. And so now I'm coming up on almost 5,000 in less than 2 months, which is pretty terrific.
You're just like, what? I don't know. I just put it up there. Right? Yeah. Exactly. I think that's kind of the nature of that Facebook stuff and, well, just online stuff as well. You hit on something. You know, and when you hit on something, then it kind of goes viral and it's miniature way here in St. Cloud. But, you know, 5,000 hits in a couple months isn't bad.
Well, and they do call it viral, and there's ways of checking up on where these people are coming from, and I haven't looked at it recently, but when I looked at it about a month ago, I had 10 people, 10 followers in France, and people from Japan, and I mean, there's people from everywhere.
Wow.
That follow this thing, so it's pretty interesting.
Well, very cool.
It is.
Well, anything else you want to add and throw in there?
Oh, I could probably talk about this for a long time, so you might want to wrap it up at this point.
Well, people can just engage you on the website then. There you go.
You know, and I welcome that. That was really what the idea of all of this is for people to participate. And maybe that's how it's a little different than other pages, is I'm not just talking to people. I'm wanting people to tell me their stories. And I think that people want to talk, and I think that people want to tell their story. Whether it's two sentences or whether it's 16 pages, I'm in for all of it. So that'd be great.
Oh, yeah. There's some interesting stuff out there, I know for sure. Well, thanks for talking with me today, John.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Jeff.
Once again, in today's installment of the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, we've been talking with lifelong St. Cloud resident John Lund about a fun new little Facebook page called St. Cloud Remembered. If you get onto Facebook, you can search for it under St. Cloud Remembered, or you can link to it off of our website at kvsc.org under the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota podcast link, at which point you can view all the old photographs and see all the old stories from the days of yore, and also add some of your own. This has been Jeff Carmack, reporting for KVSC, and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is brought to you through funding by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPERS, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities.